Anyway, let's turn our attention to what we've done well as a country. Laura Lopez Gonzalez, health journalist, standing by to help us reflect on the past 365 days.
Breakfast with Refilwe Emolato
on Cape Talk.
Laura, welcome back to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah.
Likewise, I'm excited to have a positive perspective today. I think it's often, and I've spoken about this a few times in my if you said it's often easy for us to browbeat or look negatively at South Africa's reaction. We've had a few gaffes. We haven't always been very clear in our communication, but as the world goes, we've done a decent job, I would say, right, in response to this pandemic.
Yeah, I think, I think it's always about getting that balance, to the story. And I think as much as we reflect on what goes wrong, it's always good to reflect on sort of what's gone right, because I think it just gives people like a little bit more balance in terms of hope in a difficult time. But obviously, I'm from the United States originally, and I spent half my life there and half my life here. And I've taken a look at, I've been looking at what's happened in the U.S. and compared it to what's happened here, and just seen miles apart in terms of what the response looked like. And certainly, I think the United States had problems that South Africa didn't have, with high levels of misinformation, the politicization of mask wearing, and I think really glaringly, political interference in how that country ran its outbreak response.
Quite right. And a great deal more confusion, I suppose, without taking a cohesive national view on things. And of course, a departure from science in many respects.
Oh, definitely. So we had the former President Donald Trump, for instance, getting up there on that podium that one time and saying, well, it's possible that we could inject people with some sort of disinfectant. And
right.
We know that in the 24 hours after he makes that statement, Google searches for disinfectant in the United States shot up by 10 times. So we know also science can tell us that when politicians and high profile people say things, that can shape people's views, especially when they're uncertain about what the science really is. And then, we had him, the White House released a report earlier this year saying that Donald Trump had influenced the Centers for Disease Control to limit COVID-19 testing so that there would be reduced reports and that he could use those numbers to argue that the outbreak was under control. So really some horrible examples. The only kind of high-level political interference I think that we publicly saw, at least, was really that initial letter from the Health Department, DDG, Anvan Pillay, to the Medical Research Council calling for Glenda Gray's investigation, who was the
right.
president at the MRC.
When she publicly disagreed
right.
with their, yes.
Yeah, and I think that got squashed very, very quickly, which I think is a good thing.
And also a much greater, I suppose, harmony in their work at the moment. But over and above that, I mean, I think the only area where we've really seen a public figure work against the process would be Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng and his comments about the vaccine and the 666. And that, luckily, was mostly also put out quite quickly and dismissed quite quickly. Where else have we done well here in the country?
Yeah, I think certainly we've made some gains in terms of changing the way that we do healthcare that I think people have been calling for a long time. So I think, for decades, people have been saying HIV patients and patients who are on chronic medicines, they need to be getting medicines in the best way for them. So that's been a call for decades. In COVID-19, we had home deliveries of ARVs. We had people being asked to get the pills from the ATMs that are available at some clinics. At one point, I know the South African National AIDS Council was even thinking about trying to enlist Uber at one point to do home deliveries. I think South Africa and Africa is really taking a good look at local vaccine production now. So we might have more willingness from big pharmaceutical companies to work with our firms here. And I think that African states really banded together to kind of try to make sure that they weren't last in line again for things. So, in several pandemics, we see that Africa is always at the end of the queue in terms of vaccines. We had the African Union get together to do pooled procurement, buy PPE cheaper, and also fight for better patent regulations at the World Trade Organization.
I definitely would say the standout for me is our scientific prowess. We have punched way above our weight when it comes to our scientists. They are regularly invited to give perspectives around the world, CNNs and the like. And the the strength of Glenda Gray's relationships on the back of her, Professor Glenda Gray's relationships on the back of her participation in that J&J research is really what got the ball rolling, right? For us to get vaccines here, the donation that we've gotten as a part of the study. And then, of course, Dr. Karim often brought in as one of the leading scientists in the world anyway. It's really been great to see. What does that imply in your mind, particularly if we combine that with our history of research into vaccines or treatment for HIV? What are we springboarding off going forward in the development of vaccines?
I think you're absolutely right. So I think we are really seeing the benefits of South Africa's investment into HIV research in so many ways. I think also in terms of TB. So, you know, those early PCR tests we were able to do because we had those gene experts from investing in those for tuberculosis. The HIV vaccine research we've been doing in South Africa is paving the way for COVID-19 vaccine research. Our experts have honed their skills through, you know, two to three decades of being at the forefront of HIV research. And so I think all of that was really poised to make them a resource not only for us, but also for the world in guiding that response. And certainly you see it all the time. Our South African experts sit on like every WHO panel imaginable. So really, I think a lot to be proud of.
Indeed. And then, of course, our people and our solidarity.
Yes, definitely. I think this is something that we probably don't reflect on a lot, but being originally from the United States, I think that there's a way that the concept of social solidarity is talked about in South Africa that is, you know, we don't always follow through with it, right? But I think it's a common parlance. I think we understand that in a different way. And I think it's used much more commonly. And I think that, you know, it's a basis of so many of the discussions now about who, you know, COVID-19 vaccine allocation, not just here in South Africa, but also the way that we conduct ourselves in terms of foreign policy within the African Union and that vaccine procurement as well.
Well, well done us. Thanks, Lara, for giving us that perspective once more. Lara Lopez-Gonzalez is a health journalist who has been a sage voice of reason for us throughout this pandemic.